Great to see you. Okay, let's just pray. Lord, we want to see Jesus. So please still our minds and still our hearts and get rid of all the religious nonsense that's around, Lord. Help us just to really, really welcome you this morning. Come and inspire and invigorate and captivate us, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So I was sitting, having my devotional readings this morning. The first thing I noticed is it's getting cold. Did you notice that? It's getting cold in the mornings now. And as I was reading, I was reading in Isaiah this morning, and this struck me. It's so pertinent to our nation that we're living in. And it will do to frame what we're going to talk about this morning, because we're continuing with our series on seed faith and harvest, seed time and harvest. And this is what I read. It comes from Isaiah 30, and it's talking about a rebellious nation. And we, as a nation, are caught up in the midst of a national grief, and in my opinion, rightly so. Others would disagree with that, and that's okay. But what we do is we mask a reality in times like this. And listen to what it says. It's talking about a generation, and it says, "And they say to the seers, 'See no more visions,' and to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what's right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way. Get off the path. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.'" And boy, you know, just how true is that in this day and age that we're living? You know, and we're not just talking about outside the church, we're talking in the churches, that we've come to a place in so many places where we're saying, listen, please stop talking truth to us. Tell us nice things. And we want to challenge that a little bit this morning. Last week, Mark was talking about hearing God, wasn't he? And, you know, we've had some great discussions around that in the week. And we'll slightly continue in that this morning. So how many of you have heard of the Serenity Prayer? Yeah? Who's heard of the Serenity Prayer? Yeah, one or two of us, yeah? And you'll recognize it, because generally, the bit of the Serenity Prayer that we quote is this: "God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Yeah? And we like that. But that's only a little bit of that prayer. Let me read you the rest of the prayer. And it's interesting that we never quote this bit. So the whole prayer says this: "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him in the next. Amen." Now, isn't that interesting? Because we like the first bit. It says, you know, help me change things. But the second bit's so challenging, isn't it? Jesus said, you know, in this world you'll have persecution. Don't be surprised if they hate you, they hated me. He talks like that, doesn't he? He says it's a difficult place. He says when you pray, pray that the kingdom would come. That which is heaven would come upon the earth. And really all you got to do is draw a chalk circle around your feet, and that's the area he's talking about. Begins with us. And these are hard things when we look at a world where in the midst of all of the grief and the niceness about remembering our Queen's life, two policemen are stabbed. It barely gets a mention. You know, and there's a lot of stuff wrong today, and we're in danger of covering over that. And what I really want today is to talk a little bit about that. You see, in Exodus 15, verse 26, let's bring that verse up, please, if we may. It says this. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all the decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So there's a need to listen, but that's not enough. There's a need to do. Now, we're very good at listening, but when it comes to doing, often we find ourselves very challenged. And it can be quite a difficult thing in the midst of all of the problems that go on around us to actually carry out that which God would have us do. Don't despair. There's good news in all of this. You see, in promising his continued presence in our life, God places two great conditions before his people. Now, I've said this many times to you before. There's a difference between the promises of God and the commands of God. You can't do a single thing, and neither can I, to influence the promises of God. They are completely within his domain and for him to carry out. He said he'll do that, and there's nothing we can do to help him along with that. He's got it, okay? He's got it. But the commands of God are things that we can choose to obey or not, as the case may be. And there is a different outcome for both of those results. He says, these two conditions of this, one that we heed him, and two that we do what's right in God's sight. So let's talk about heeding him, first of all. God's always spoken, always is speaking, and continues to do so today. So what we've got to do is we've got to cultivate an attitude of listening. It doesn't come easy. There's a lot of background noise out there. A lot of white noise, if you will, that's making it very difficult to listen in. One of the things that really annoys me a lot is maybe once in a while there'll be something comes on a news broadcast and I really want to hear it. And you bet your boots somebody's going to start a conversation in the living room at that point. That's how it works. And it gets an animated conversation and I can't hear what I want to hear. And it's really frustrating. Yeah, it really is. Or you really want to settle down to think about something or read something and the phone rings. And there's some unspoken law that these things have to happen, isn't there? Out there. And it makes it difficult to hear what's going on because of all the background noise. Life is like that. But God speaks in lots of ways. It might be through his word, it might be through his servants, it might be through direct revelation, it might be through nature. He speaks in lots and lots of ways. But are we listening? Are we cultivating that habit of hearing his voice? Last week, and I shared this with a couple of people, I had some amazing experiences. Three mornings in a row, I woke up singing. Has that ever happened to you? Singing old choruses that I'd forgotten years and years ago. Three mornings in a row, I woke up and found myself singing. Beautiful. Really quite amazing. Now, I kind of need to take stock of that and say, okay, Lord, I'm hearing that happening. What's going on? How do I work with that? What does that mean? And I'm asking God to help me to hear what he's saying in that. And we need to not just dismiss these moments when God does things like this with us, when something in nature catches our attention and is rather special. Whether it's, if you remember from last week, some galaxy somewhere that looks like a Christmas card, or a herd of cows walking up a hillside, or whatever it is that catches your attention for that moment. We need to cultivate that and say, Lord, please help me. Help me understand what it is that's happening. In Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, look at this. Okay? And we're cutting into a verse, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. And I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Isn't that beautiful? That conjures up quite a picture, doesn't it? Flooded with light. So that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called, his holy people who are rich and glorious, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And whether we're listening to this here today or listening to this later on the podcast, on the website, we need to understand that we have to grow in our knowledge of God. And that doesn't mean we just memorize things. That means we do something with the things that go in. Whenever the Word of God goes into us, it requires us to do something with that. And then we can understand what's going on, and we can walk in those ways. See, God's looking for a people who listen to his voice and not try and run and hide. What do I mean by that, run and hide? Well, what happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, when God said, Adam, where are you? Well, this is what happened. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, and so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And often we do that, and we don't realize we're doing that. And that's why I opened with that verse in Isaiah, where people are hiding from God, saying, listen, stop telling us these things. Tell us nice things. We don't want to hear this challenging stuff. Come on, say nice things that gives us goosebumps and makes us feel good. Now, I don't know if you know this, but on the 24th of April, 1700 and, was it 58? I think, let me just check my figures. Yes, on the 28th of April, 1789, there was an event called the Mutiny on the Bounty. Now, you might think that's just a movie, but it's actually happened. It's a true story. And the two principal characters in that story was the captain of the Bounty, which was a Royal Navy ship that had been to Tahiti. And Tahiti was known as the Friendly Isles. So they'd really enjoyed their time there. And the captain was a man named William Bligh, and he was a terror of a man. He ruled with an iron rod. He was cruel, and he was heartless. He was a tyrant. And the other character in the story is a young lieutenant, and his name was Christian Fletcher. And Fletcher led a rebellion, a mutiny, against Captain Bligh. And they put Bligh and 18 other sailors in a boat in the open sea and cast them adrift. Well, he might have been a terror, but he was an excellent seaman because he navigated 4,000 miles of open ocean without any charts, and brought them safely to land in Timor. And that's how we found out that there had been a mutiny on the Bounty. Well, the Bounty managed to reach Pitcairn Island. And that's the last we hear of the ship. But what we do know is that 20 years later, an American cargo ship discovered a community on that island. And this is what they found. They found that a man named Alexander Smith had a Bible, and he read that Bible, and he based a community on that Bible, and there was no jail because there was no crime. There was no hospital because there was no illness. There was no asylum because there was no insanity. There was no illiteracy because people had been taught to read and write. And human life and property were safe and valued. Why? Because the Christian message had cleansed their society. They'd listened to God and acted upon what he said. And this wonderful community had sprung up all around them. You see, where Jesus is allowed to reign, he becomes the antiseptic that cleanses the moral poison of society. And he leaves it pure, and he leaves it clean. When we act upon what God says. Now, we need to sow our faith into that reality. When God speaks, we need to sow our faith into that voice. And we need to act upon it regardless of the standards of the society around us. Regardless if society's shouting, stop telling us these things. Tell us nice things. The second thing we need to do is we need to learn to do what's right in the sight of God. You see, when we just hear his words, it doesn't really do anything. We need to take them into ourselves and appropriate them. A little bit like, imagine Christmas morning comes. Sorry, Kat, another mention of Christmas. It's still September. I'm sure you'll forgive me. Imagine Christmas morning comes and I invite you to breakfast with Kath and I, and you come in and as you pass the living room, you see under our Christmas tree a whole stack of presents, and your name's on one of them. And you can see that as you pass by because it's written large. And you have breakfast and you go home and you don't take your present, and halfway through the year you're moaning that I never gave you anything for Christmas. You see, we have to take and appropriate the gift to make it our own. It's no good saying we have a gift from God if we don't make it our own, if we don't open the box. And so it is with the Word of God. We can hear it till we're blue in the face, but if we don't do something with it, then we never appropriate that great truth. In James 1, verse 22 to 25, we read this. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Can you see the connection? It's not enough just to hear it. We have to act upon it. Now, obedience to God's word is the clearest indicator that we've heard him. Arguing about it is no indicator. Picking fights with others about it is no indicator. Acting upon it is the indicator that we've heard God's word. Purity of life is not a quest for perfection, my friends. It's a quest for liberation from the things that inhibit ineffectiveness. Wow. And ineffectiveness reduces power-filled living. That's why we seek a holy life, so that we may be power-filled believers. And this mirror that we use to see our reflection is the Word of God. but with it comes acting upon it. Stories told of two miners in the gold rush in California. And they were the laughing stock of the local town because they were just useless. They just never found any gold. And they were ever the optimist, ever tomorrow will be our day when we strike it big and we strike it rich. And then that day came when they uncovered a seam of gold. And as they dug the gold out, there was a creaking sound followed by an incredible crash as the rafters gave way and tons of rock fell upon them. They were separated by tons of rock. And as one miner tried to dig his friend out, he managed to get a hold of his hand, and he's trying to pull him. And in his hand, he's clutching this incredible gold nugget, biggest you've ever seen. And he says, let it go, take my hand. And he wouldn't let it go. And there was more creaking and crashing, and it was clear the rest of the roof was coming down upon them, tons of rock. And he said, go, save yourself. I said, well, what will I tell your family? He said, tell them I died rich. What a fool. What a fool. And all over our society are people holding on to things. Wealth and position and status and stuff. Thinking they're rich when they lack everything. See, when we have the word of God and we act upon it, we are destined to walk in pavements that are made of gold, because that's what Father's house is like. That's when you'll know what riches are, when we're with him. I'll let you into a little secret. Everything you've got, you're leaving behind. Everything. Except your character. That's the only thing we take out this life with us. Will we be men and women who stand before God who said, Lord, I heard your word and I acted upon it? Will we hear him say to us, well done, good and faithful servants? Will we hear that? But remember, Jesus says, not everyone who calls me Lord will be there. Don't hold on to those things thinking that we're rich. Hear the word of God and act upon it. He is your provider. He is your healer. He is your baptizer with the Spirit. He is your Savior. He is your miracle worker. He will do all things, and he does them well. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, look at this one. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who's the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. Do you know, just have a quick slanty peek out the corner of your eye at someone next to you. Do you know that you're being changed into the glory of the Lord, from glory to glory? You're becoming more and more like Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in us. And the image here is that of Jesus himself. Christ's likeness, church, is our image against which we measure our conduct and character. And through this, we allow God to shape us into Christ's image. Let's end with one more verse in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Remember, we've said it many times before. When mommy and daddy goldfish love each other very much, they have little baby goldfishes. Never donkeys. Always goldfish. Kind begets kind. True in the physical, true in the spiritual. Okay, we cannot sow with carnal things and expect a spiritual blessing. You'll always harvest what you plant. So if you plant faith the size of a mustard seed, whoa, Jesus says that's all you need. That's all you need. And then you're a mountain mover. Look at this. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay. Guaranteed. And death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life. Somebody smile. Everlasting life. Wow. Amazing. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. And just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So let's hear his voice and let's do what he tells us to do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We bless you. And we ask you, please help us to hear very familiar things. And help us, please, to act upon what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, help us to be doers as well as hearers of your word. Help us to cultivate our ears that we might hear what you have to say. Amen. Amen. Amen.